Praise to you in the name of the Word made flesh. In looking for some illustration to begin this sermon, which is about words, I came across a quote by the author Jodi Picoult. Words are like eggs dropped from great heights. You can no more call them back than you can ignore the mess they leave when they fall. Words mean. They matter. In a world of distorted facts, words spoken truthfully and carefully are lifelines. They are shelters to hold to when what is real seems upended, when so much seems bewildering. Words matter. The poet David White reminds us of this in his own way. This is not the age of information. This is not the age of information. Forget the news and the radio and the blurred screen. This is the time of loaves and fishes. People are hungry, and one good word is bread for a thousand. You will hear this same theme in our first reading today, which is actually from Isaiah, and we'll hear it a little bit later after the procession. This Isaiah text, which is one of the four servant songs of Isaiah, has come in the Christian tradition, to be interpreted as a reference to Christ. And it starts this way. The Lord has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. It is worth noting, I think, that this text accompanies the Passion readings, rather than this more celebratory and flattering poem reading that we just heard Roy read at the beginning of our service. The words with which Christ comes do not belong amidst empty flattery and praise. They are words that are spoken so truthfully and so carefully that they will cost his life. Words that are meaningful, that are truthful, have a price. In the beginning was the Word, writes the author of John, the Logos, the order, the form, the reason for existence, the meaning of it all. I may have mentioned before, but one of the readings that my spouse and I chose for our wedding came from Wendell Berry's work, Standing by Words. He writes the way that choosing words, like choosing a partner, is committing to a form, to a way, which may lead us to the unexpected. He writes this: because the condition of marriage is worldly and its meaning communal, no one party to it can be solely in charge. What you alone think it ought to be, it is not going to be. Where you alone think you want it to go, it is not going to go. It is going where the two of you, and marriage, time, life, history, and the world will take it. You do not know the road. You have committed your life to a way. In marriage, as in poetry, the given word implies the acceptance of a form that is never entirely of one's own making. When understood seriously enough, a form is a way of accepting and living within the limits of creaturely life. We live only one life, and die only one day. A marriage cannot include everybody because the reach of responsibility is short. And a poem cannot be about everything, for the reach of attention and insight is short. End quote. Committing to any form, a religious tradition, a secular tradition, a career or vocation, a piece of land, a place, is part of this journey of standing by words. Think of how, or perhaps why, words have become so uncertain and bewildering these days. By what commitment and context are they able to be measured? The Lord has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. How much I need to hear a word that means, that is married to context and form and a life that commits to that word. Perhaps you do too. And if we are silent, perhaps the stones will shout out. Perhaps they already are. God comes in word, in this Christ life where what is spoken and what is lived are one and the same. They are precision. In this tradition this week, we follow this word, bear witness to the cost.